This episode is brought to you by AARP. 10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs. And the small dogs, who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
Let's talk about the finance right. If you don't finance your property properly, well, guess what? We've got a lot of gurus out there who are actually saying,
what do they say? The house of pain.
They're saying, I am selling my property at a 20% discount because I'm going to buy at a 40% discount. What they're actually saying is, I bought the property wrong.
Hello, everybody. Jake and Gino here, and today we are discussing the top three cons in multifamily investing. Gang, it's our humble opinion that anything worthwhile in this life takes effort. We believe that multifamily investing is an amazing vehicle, but it can come with potential pitfalls if not approached correctly. Today, we're going to dive into these. Gino, how's it going?
I'm doing good, Jake. Happy Valentine's Day, by the way, my friend.
Virtual hug, baby. Love you. Let's dive into this. Let's just kick it off. What are the potential pitfalls from investing in multifamily apartments?
There are three. Remember the three-step framework you talked about, Jake? For anybody who wants to learn the three-step framework, email me, gino@jakeandgino.com. I'll send the PDF copy of our book, Wheelbarrow Profits, because it dives into the pros or what you need to follow. The cons are simply, let's reverse engineer it. Not buying right, not managing right, and not financing right. So let's take each one of those because it's so crucial to understand at a high level. What does not buying right mean? Well, it means really getting that get-the-rightist, not understanding where you are in the market cycle and not having proper buy-right criteria. Now, what does that mean? Well, when you're going out there, and as an entrepreneur, if you don't have focus, if you don't have clarity, you don't know what step to take, what that next step looks like. But if you do have criteria, all of a sudden a deal comes across your desk, you're able to say, that's the deal I want. Or if you're speaking to a broker or a potential investor, you can convey that information to them. For instance, Jake and Gino, we just closed on a deal with our buy right criteria. It was a newer vintage, 2000s build. It had very good unit mix. Some ones, but majorities of twos and threes. Median income was phenomenal. We like the size of the asset, 128 units. We like the amenities. We like the location. Everything about it was brick, pitch roofs. We like the residents that were in there to begin with. So when you're figuring out what your buy rate criteria is, look at the market that you're in. Understand that market and start creating criteria for yourself. But that also comes with understanding where you are in the market cycle. Because when Jake and I first started back in 2011, we were buying much older buildings because the prices were a lot more depressed for those C assets. So understand where you are in the market cycle and start pivoting. There's one thing I'll leave you with before Jake can smash me back. Valuation over operation right now, instead of just renovating these units. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for operational inefficiencies. And that's what we got with this property. Rents are at $7 to $7.50 on average. We're going to $1,100 on these units. We're going to be implementing RUBS on these units. So it's not just going in there, renovating the units and adding value that way. We have a lot of operational inefficiencies. And that's another one of our buy-right criteria in this part of the market cycle.
Yeah, and I can even tell a story of when we did not buy right. So there was a deal that we did in Kentucky a few years ago, and ultimately it was an older vintage. It was 1960s, so that goes against our buy right criteria, but we sacrificed it because we thought, okay, the price is looking good. We like the size of it. But then also the median income was slightly lower than we like. I think it was $43,000 for that track. So we had two strikes against us, and ultimately it did not turn out to be one of our better purchases. Fortunately, we were able to manage through it. We sold the deal. I think we made about $3 million, but we missed our buy right criteria, and it was a very painful deal from the management perspective. The management you know, being, hey, 1960s build, harder to maintain, harder to manage, and then also a much tougher resident base. So that dovetails perfectly, Gino, into your second point, not managing right.
I got to hit you back on that one for a second because
volley back.
You know why, Jake? When we bought it at that part of the cycle, we were fortunate because the C properties were still, prices were still really good. So at that point, we didn't overpay on that asset. We were buying.
We didn't overpay,
actual.
But we missed our criteria.
Exactly, but we really didn't have criteria back then. That property actually created the pain for us to say, time out. What did we do wrong? Right? Most entrepreneurs see things as problems. We actually saw that as an opportunity, and we said to ourselves, the conveyor belt in action, let's sell this asset since the market is elevating, and we sold the asset out. And that is what led to this buy right criteria that is so crucial. Now, the manage right portion, that's a difficult one, because on that one, you need to have KPIs, key performance indicators. Our coaches at Jake and Gino, we have property management coaches who work for the property management side. And the first thing they see when they work with our students is a lot of the students don't have key performance indicators. And when they start, I've had students say, I'm not really sure how much money I'm making. I really don't want to hear that from people when they start buying these assets, because they don't think of the manage right, because no one out there other than Jake and Gino, unfortunately, it's teaching manage right, because it's not sexy. Those wheels in that wheelbarrow, they're not really sexy. They're just turning. You got the back legs, the buy right and the finance right. Those are sexy. We can all talk about that. The manage right is actually building a business. We become multifamily entrepreneurs. That's what we teach at Jake and Gino. And our students have had these massive transformations. And for people out there saying, well, I don't really want to pay for mentorship, I will guarantee you, if you've got 30, 40, 50, 100 units, and you say to yourself, I need help on the management side, that investment you make in the mentorship will be paid off in the next 2 months, because you'll be saying to yourself, I don't have a turn process. Do you have a turn process out there where you can turn a unit in 5 days? I don't have a leasing collections process. I don't have an application process. I don't have a move in and move out process. I don't have all of these processes because I never learned it, because no one's ever taught me this. Well, that's what we do at Jake and Gino. We create multifamily entrepreneurs by teaching the manage right. So the second one is not managing your properties efficiently, or hiring bad third-party property management, which we help our students actually guide them through the process. And you know, you have to hold those expectations, not having weekly meetings with the property management company, not being able to go through certain reports. We teach all of that in the Jake and Gino community.
I'm going to give you your first KPI, in my opinion, what we started with and what your first KPI should be. We call it PPU, and that stands for profit per unit. Gino mentioned people don't know how much money they're making. The way to start is to track every month all the units in your portfolio, and then for each entity, derive a PPU, which stands for profit per unit. That will really be a great indicator of what units are performing and what units are not. I think a minimum baseline these days should be between $100 and $150 profit per unit. I'm not saying that's good, but anything below that, I think is you know, something concerning, and you probably did not buy right on the front end.
I want to hear everyone, when I mention this, how excited Jake is going to get. What about the cash, baby? You know, I talk about cash versus accrual.
Dude, Gino, if it don't cash flow, let the grass grow. All right, my friend. Hey, we are all about the cash versus the accrual.
I thought it'd elicit a little bit more response.
You know, this is a short episode. We don't have time to get into all that. All right.
Well, it's important. Just real quick, what we're talking about is money coming in. Have an owner draw. Have a baseline. We won't get it into this. We've talked about it on other how-to episodes. But that's really important as well. Manage the cash. It's great to say accrual accounting is excellent. It's a great way to do it. But what are your draws at the end of the month? That
ties
into the PPU. It's really, really important. And the third one, let's talk about the finance right. If you don't finance your property properly, well, guess what? We've got a lot of gurus out there who are actually saying,
what do they say? The house of pain.
They're saying, I am selling my property at a 20% discount because I'm going to buy at a 40% discount. What they're actually saying is, I bought the property wrong.
I screwed
bought
up.
It wrong, yep. And I financed it wrong. Everyone's talking about all these floaters and rates. Well, what happened when people were getting bridged at a 3%, 3.5% and saying, I'm going to refi this thing out in 18 months or 24 months? Well, where are rates right now?
Time out, Gino. Time out. I want to say this to be very clear what you're just saying. We did not buy shitty deals on bridge debt in the past 3 years. Okay. I think it's very important to look and you know, discuss this with your team and find out, you know, the groups that you're networking with who bought bridge deals in the last few years and now they're in trouble, because that to us is not financing right. We do not mess with that, and we have not done that. And that's why we're in a very strong position right now, because we don't have notes coming due in the next 2 to 3 years. It's a very important note to make there.
And Jake, there's nothing wrong with buying stuff on bridge debt. The problem is people are buying stabilized assets on bridge debt. They're saying to themselves, well, rents are $900. I'm going to take this to $1,500. That is
20% year-over-year rent growth. Yeah, in perpetuity.
And that's trying to time the market, right? You can always buy real estate. You can't always sell or exit real estate. And that's what happened back in 2008. And that's what's going to happen to a lot of operators right now. They're banking on trying to refinance at a certain number or at a certain time. And if that doesn't work, the deal completely falls apart. And that's what we're talking about with financing, right? We're using loan to cost right now. 5-year terms. We're giving ourselves plenty of runway. Where we know rates are right now, rates are going to have to come down in the next 2 years because the government can't be they cannot continue to borrow at these elevated rates. It's like $800 billion going to interest only to service the debt. So that's why everyone should hear this, in my opinion. That's why the Fed held off as long as possible before raising rates. Because can you imagine if we're in an interest rate environment that's 7% for the next 3-4 years, it's not only going to cripple the U.S. economy, it's going to cripple the rest of the economies around the world because the U.S. is not the only economy in a debt bubble. I think every other economy in the world is. So they raise rates. I will almost guarantee with certainty in the next 2 years when they get inflation under control and when there's a presidential election, that's the opportunity to refi out. And I think operators are holding on, hoping that they bought on bridge debt, stabilized deals, saying, hope this works out. We don't want to hope and pray at Jake and Gino. We want to buy right, manage right, and finance right at Jake and Gino.
I think Buffett said it the best. You don't reelect the Congress until they balance the budget. So if they can't balance it, you fire them until somebody gets in that can. I think that's the solution, right? But that didn't happen anytime soon. So, gang, this has been a lot of fun. And as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He's the G-Daddy. We make it happen. See you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.